We're not going to sing happy birthday this week. Don't worry, for those of you who were with me a few weeks ago. And Vershamru. We're not going to sing Vershamru's or happy birthday this week. The Micha Mocha melody that we sang together in the High Holiday Nusach, this is Mi-Sinai. It is from Sinai, right? We all were there, weren't we? Can't you imagine us all gathered down around the mountain singing Yai, Lai, 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 Lai as we stood at Mount Sinai receiving the Torah? Well, it is considered Mi-Sinai, from Sinai, that very melody. There are about anywhere between 8, 10, 12, somewhat debated, number of melodies that are considered Mi-Sinai, from Sinai, from that moment that we stood and received the Torah. These melodies are either completely composed tunes or often snippets of melodies. And because they have been sung for so long in worship, they are regarded as having been handed down from Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our father, to us. Many of them actually appear in our holy day music and our holy day liturgy. Of course, I'm sorry to disappoint anybody who might have expecting it. They are not actually from Sinai. We don't really know, again, which melodies are part of this canon, but most came from Middle Germany between the 10th and 15th centuries. But they are called Mi-Sinai melodies because, like Torah, they are lasting. They become part of who we are, and they stand up to the test of time. They last as musical pieces beyond the generation in which they were composed. Many melodies die off with the people who sang them, but these melodies manage to last through the generations. They're also regarded as melodies that cannot be substituted. And we actually know there were many other melodies, but it is considered that these are the true ways we should be singing these liturgical texts, and that explains sort of their stickiness, is that they're really considered the right way to chant. So you want to know what some of them are? Well, I'm going to tell you, even if you should never ask a question that you don't know the answer, but I'm going to tell you what some of these Mi-Sinai melodies are. The first, Ma'os Tzur Yeshuati, from which holiday? Hanukkah. This was brought to us as a Protestant hymn. Oh, I got a lot more where that came from, so just prepare yourselves. For use at Hanukkah, it's a combination of two German folk songs from the 16th century. Ah, dear who, yivne ve'tabeko. What holiday? Passover. This also, it's not a hymn, but it's from medieval Germany. We actually have some original notation from about 1644. Clearly not Mi-Sinai, but 1644, which actually isn't so long ago. Shema. I know it as Zoltzer, you know it as traditional. Traditional is also code in many ways for Mi-Sinai. Traditional means we must have been singing it since the beginning of time, since we all know it and maybe don't love it, but we know it. It's become sort of parts. We think they must have been singing this back in the olden days. So this Shema, Shema Yisrael, we sang it a few moments ago, was arranged by Solomon Zoltzer. It's actually from 19th century Viennese music. It was notated, yeah, well, I heard wow, right? We assume that, you know, everybody was singing it, but 1880s, 1890s, Zoltzer arranged it for organ, and it was originally the Nusach for the Shema of the Torah service. The Shema earlier in the service wasn't sung, or it was davened very quickly, but Shema Yisrael, what we sing at the Torah service, was where it originated, late 1800s. I mean, really not Mi-Sinai, not so old, but for us, it is Mi-Sinai. It is for us. Feels that way. Ein Keloheinu, ein. Right. You want to guess where that's from? But there is a theme, yes. 9th century, Germany, and is also a Protestant hymn. Adon Olam, which we'll sing later in the service, again, we often call traditional, was Gurovich. Adon Olam. Okay, what are we going to get? Well, don't spoil the end. Now we know. Service isn't over. We're not rushing to the Oneg. This also is a Protestant hymn. Interestingly, I had thought for a long time it was written by Gurovich. The music says, when it's notated, A.W. Gurovich. And what we understand now is that that actually stands for Alte Weiss, which means old melody. So he took this Protestant melody, notated it, and added the words. Adon Olam Asher Malach, but it is a Protestant hymn. It is interesting to me that many of these Messinai, right, feels like our Jewish melodies, are Protestant. But that's a conversation about what makes Jewish music Jewish for another sermon, another class, another time. We're not going to dig into that. But I just think that piece actually is quite interesting, that the music that for us, many of us, resonates didn't originate in a way we would consider is ours, but it really came from the culture around us. Oseh Shalom. Oseh Shalom Bimromov. Anyone know when that was written besides the rabbis? 1969. So I hadn't been born yet, so it is me, Sinai. Did I just out myself? So it was before my time, but I go places, I travel, where people say, can we do the traditional Oseh Shalom? You know, the old one. I'm like, old, like 1969 is old. Nurit Hirsch was a contemporary Israeli composer, wrote it. For a host of reasons, it became important to us, and it is considered, again, part of this loose sort of canon of Messinai. When we think of, like, Jewish melodies that people know, Oseh Shalom is one of them, but that, of course, is not the oldest. Kol Nidre is actually, the last two are considered the most. So I went backwards a little bit. Kol Nidre is the original Messinai melody, and that's for a few reasons. Mostly because, as many of you may know, the text, when we translate it, is really problematic, right? The text basically says all the vows we're about to make, they've already been nullified, so we don't have to worry about it, if you take a literal translation. But what happened is the text appears in the 13th century, some of the early High Holiday prayer books. We don't really think there was music set to it until the 16th century. Some of the melody comes from Babylonian cantillation, the Babylonian chant of Bereshit, of the beginning of the Torah. And we think that on Rosh Hashanah, in the Babylonian tradition, they were chanting Bereshit, and those became the melodies for Kol Nidre. But because this melody was so important, even though the text was terrible, many generations wanted to get rid of the text. The Jews said, we have to hear the Kol Nidre the way it sounds. And Kol Nidre, except with a few variations, has not changed. We don't think really since the 16th century. So that's considered the epitome of a Messinai melody, where the text, which we don't like, loses out to the melody because it's considered part of who we are and where we come from. And finally, the great Aleinu, Aleinu HaGadol. As far back as the Middle Ages, cantors would introduce new melodies and new motifs on the High Holidays. This melody, I'll sing a little bit for you in a second, introduces the most impressive and liturgically powerful part of our liturgy, of the Rosh Hashanah liturgy, and that's when God's sovereignty is declared, the Malchuyot section around the shofar service. The melody for this can actually be traced back to 12th century France when many Jews were persecuted. It is said, we don't know for sure, that the Jews sang this melody as they approached their death. And to honor their melody, the Jews of France and Rhineland put it into their service. But more importantly, the Aleinu as we know it, Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon, hakol at the end of the service, the text originates in the Rosh Hashanah service. A rabbi who died in the year 240, so really first century, placed this text in a Rosh Hashanah manuscript to herald this great section of the liturgy, the Malchuyot section. We bend a knee, we bow before the one who is greater than all things. This text is that old, but it started in the Rosh Hashanah liturgy. So because of that, when we get to that section in the Rosh Hashanah service, it's a pretty important part. So this year on Rosh Hashanah, instead of reading it or just chanting Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol, we'll chant the great Aleinu in its Messinai melody. It goes a little like this. Maybe you'll understand why. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol. And onward, right? Really dramatic sense of what's to come. So these are some of the Messinai melodies. There are more, and there is some debate about what should be considered part of the canon. But that's a sense, and particularly because some of them we sing on high holidays, to hold the fact that they're old, but they're not from Sinai, but they actually sort of are now. They're part of our history. As a cantor, part of my call, particularly around the high holidays, is to think deeply about where we as a people have come, where we're going, and how I can act as an emissary to link all of the generations of Jews, one through the next, who've moved through time, through all of the melodies and chants and cries that we experience together. We know music is always changing. New melodies express the times. And we talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. They've always done that. Jewish music has never been static. Of most traditions, music changes slowly. Jewish music constantly evolves. Because we've adopted from local cultures, Christian and Muslim, secular, in every time, in every country where our people have lived in diaspora. But yet, we also carry with us these Mycenae ideas, the voices and the spirits, and the struggles and the joys of the generations of Jews who have come before us, who have prayed the same texts that we have, and we stand on their shoulders. I, as a cantor, bring that knowledge and access to this Shalshelet HaKabbalah, this chain of tradition of musical and cultural expressions of our people when I plan and craft High Holiday music. One of the ways that I do that is through chazanut, which is the chanting of text brought by chazanim, cantors of old. There are chazanim, traditional chazanim now, but really of the 20s and 30s, who expressed our liturgical texts through word painting. Word painting is a way of telling our story, expressing the meaning of a prayer, a specific line, or even just one word, using a musical phrase. Some of you may know that people would come for miles to hear the great chazanim daven, and they would be moved to tears. I mean, it was like the best show in town was to come and hear the cantors, the great cantors, many, most of whom lived in New York. Why? Some of them knew Hebrew, but a lot didn't. But they found the way the chazanim expressed the text, they knew exactly what the text was about, and they felt the emotion and the pathos and the commitment of the chazan representing them to God, representing them in the universe. At a time where maybe we didn't feel like we each had an individual voice, the chazanim represented them so beautifully because we knew that they understood the text by the way they painted those words. So here are a few examples of, I lost a page, it was all here, of Unatana Tokev, which I will chant for you on the holidays. I'm going to do it a little differently than, this is really strange, I apologize. I might have lost a page, but I'm going to just go with it. There it is. I'm going to translate a little bit of a line and then sing it in Hebrew. So it's not going to flow as well in the Hebrew as it might have, but I want you to be able to really hear the words. So Unatana Tokev, if we remember, is the part of the service that we say, this is the day. Hine Yom Hadin, this is the day of judgment. This is the day that God has made. And the most important part, right? Leonard Cohen has a song. What is the main part of the Unatana Tokev text? Who shall live and who shall die? Right? Who by water, challenging at this time indeed, who by fire? Give me one second. I've really confused myself here, and I do apologize. Okay. If I'll just take one second. I'm not quite sure what has happened. Literally just had it here. Okay, well, I'm just going to keep chanting. This is the strangest thing. Okay, so I'm going to chant like this. This first part, Unatane Tokef Kedushat Hayom. This is the day that we begin and we're all ready to have this proclaimed for us. Unatane Tokef Kedushat Hayom. Let us proclaim how utterly holy this day is. Unatane Tokef Kedushat Hayom. And how awe-inspiring. Ki hu nora v'ayom. It is the day when your dominion shall be exalted. Uvo tinase malchutecha. Your throne be established on mercy. V'ikon v'chesed kisecha. And you shall occupy it in truth. V'teshev Allah be'emet. True it is that you are judge and arbiter. Emet, emet. Ki atahu dayan u'mochiyach v'yodea v'ed. Discerner and witness. V'chote v'choteim. Inscribing and recording. V'sofer u'mone. And recording all forgotten things. V'tizkor kol hanishkachot. not forgotten things. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to this last part. Uva shofar gadol. The great shofar is sounded. Uva shofar gadol. Yitaka, yitaka. A gentle whisper is heard. V'kol d'mamadaka yishama. The angels scurry and quaking with fear declare. U'malachim yechafezun. Did you hear the scurrying of the malachim? U'malachim yechafezun. V'chil uroda yochezun v'yomeru, proclaiming. The day of judgment is here. Hinei yom hadin. So now imagine that you know no Hebrew, but you know what the prayer is about and what we're supposed to be learning from it. That's chazonis, that's chazanut, and that's word painting. So you'll hear a little bit of that as well on the holidays. So I bring into our liturgical conversation this dance between memory, all of the music of memory. Of course, all of our memories are different, which is challenging, but the music of memory, Misinai, Protestant hymns, for those of us for whom that's a rich and important memory. Also, the music of majesty, of a sense of the grandeur of the world and how we are just bit players in a little drama that's unfolding pretty much around us and with no care for us. The music of majesty, of feeling the greatness of the world. The music of meaning, the melodies that stir us, the texts that agitate a little, that make us uncomfortable, or that make us think, or that help us feel more deeply connected to ourselves and our community. That's music of meaning. And then, of course, the music of meeting, the music that connects us to each other, that brings communities together, that links us to each other, but also to those who have come before us. All of that music is part of how we engage in Jewish life, but really comes to play most significantly on the holy days, because it pulls all those parts together. The history from Sinai all the way till today, the meaning of our texts, the memories that we have of them, the sense of awe in the universe, but also the sense of our beloved ones sitting around us and next to us and how we come together. So I look forward to joining with you and going on this sort of Jewish musical journey with you on the holidays, and I wish you a Shabbat Shalom.